The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John, the baptizer, appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I invite you to be seated. So you just heard the opening scene in the Gospel according to Mark. Most people are much more familiar with the openings of other Gospels, with lambs and shepherds and wise men and so forth. And you'll hear about those in just a few weeks on Christmas Eve and Day. But today, in John the Baptist, we find Mark's version of the angels singing to the shepherd in the fields. And although angels and shepherds make a far more picturesque Christmas scene than a zealous man eating and wearing strange things, John the Baptist and the angels both do the exact same thing. They act as heralds, as messengers. They prepare the way for the babe in the manger, who grows up to baptize in the Holy Spirit and die as a criminal on a cross. Both readings end in a very comforting and uplifting way, but they don't start that way. Both readings, Isaiah and Mark, start from a place of deep sadness, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, where all the people of Jerusalem desperately streamed out to meet the one who could offer a deeply needed sense of comfort and forgiveness. That's why these readings are chosen for Advent, to encourage us to realize that we too are in need of comfort and forgiveness. See, Advent reflects the places of sadness and darkness in us and our world, which is maybe why many of us would like to skip this preparing for Christmas, this yearning and expectation and midnight blue of Advent, and skip kind of right to over to the bright lights and overt joyful message of Christmas. Maybe we don't like to visit places of deep sadness in the world or in us very often, or are overwhelmed by them. I know, for example, last month when my cat died, I was surprised to notice, when I had little waves of sadness, that it was also tinged with a sense of fear. And I think that that might probably be true for many people. Difficult emotions, deep emotions, can be tinged with fear or anxiety even, for a lot of different reasons. Today's readings were originally written to people who lived in very dark times, people who, in Isaiah's Jerusalem, had been beaten by another country, taken, and exiled to a foreign land, and felt that God had completely abandoned and even punished them. Or people, like in the Mark's reading, in Jesus' Jerusalem, which was under the Roman Empire, Empire's thumb at the time, people who responded with fear to that and anger and also complacency to such military rule. See, Advent readings make sense to those who are in darkness, and help us even to get in touch with darkness in our world, although I don't know that we need much encouragement for that because we live in a pretty dark time. Because our culture has overtaken, and I think overdoes, Christmas, I think there's a ripe harvest of people in this country and even in this community who'd find comfort in doing what we're doing this morning, which is speaking honestly about darkness in the readings that we have and even in the church season of Advent. As we've all heard before, the suicide rate skyrockets this time of year, and I think it's partly because our culture overdoes Christmas and sets this unrealistic, ideal standard for Christmas by the Cratchit family. So we're expected to have some sort of deeply felt Christmas spirit experience each year. I speak from experience, and I've shared this before, but it was finally in my early 20s that I finally realized that I'd kind of been slightly depressed at Christmas for years because my expectation for the seasons, the expectations and the ideals never really matched up with reality. That's one of the reasons that Advent is my favorite season, because it really is preparation for Christmas, not just an amorphous Christmas spirit. The message of Advent starts from a place of deep sadness for the people of Jerusalem who streamed out to John the Baptist, for you and for me, and for our world, which isn't what it's supposed to be. The world is a wilderness, Isaiah imagines, with places of dry, impoverished desert, with valleys of the shadow of death, with mountain peak careers that we rarely reach, with uneven, unfair ground that trips people up, with rough places in which much of the world's population lives. And into this wilderness came Jesus, baptizing with the Holy Spirit. And into places of deep sadness, he still comes, lifting up valleys of death, because he is the resurrection and the life. Into dry, impoverished places, Jesus comes with the waters of baptismal renewal. Bringing down the mountains, Jesus still comes, calling the least greatest and the greatest of the world least. Leveling the uneven ground, not with justice, but with forgiveness. See, in word and in sacrament, Jesus comes today to us, comes to you this morning, in whatever state you walked in the doors, whether in sadness or not, washing away your failures or wrongdoings with the waters of forgiveness in the triune name. Jesus speaks comfort and comfort and comfort in your ear through the word. He gently gathers you around the table and feeds you and carries you, calling you his lamb. We were claimed by the Father in our baptism so that no matter how dark or empty or disappointing or unfair or terrible the world or life may seem, we are given a new future in baptism, a glimpse of a new heaven and a new earth that we experience now in glimpses through the word and through the sacraments and in the fellowship of saints, a new future where there's no darkness left, only light, where righteousness and peace, righteousness, justice and peace kiss each other, where there's no sadness and the only reality is joy. Advent places of sadness and darkness are obviously not done away with fully yet. They won't be until the end. But we're baptized by one who knows what darkness is all about and who himself is the light. And so we can prepare the way in the next 2 weeks left before Christmas by sharing the good news of a forgiving, merciful, comforting God. Amen.